Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Something's wrong with lighting.
Something's wrong with your lighting.
We'll figure that out afterwards.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Here it goes. You got butterflies.
Oh, yeah. I'm real nervous about this one.
Here we go.
Brothers, sisters, siblings, welcome to Penn Sunday School, brought to you by Masterclass. I'm Matt Donnelly, and we are broadcasting from Show Creator Studios here in Nevada, right?
Yeah,
that's where we're at. This week, Penn is about to depart for Boston and then parts unknown.
Parts unknown. Yeah. I can't talk about it.
We're finishing up here our final show before Christmas Eve, I guess. Here he is preaching the love. Penn to the left.
And it's brought to you. We're brought to you.
Yeah.
By Masterclass.
Yeah.
Masterclass. A really wonderful, wonderful holiday gift, because they got a wonderful promotion going that if you would like to give people lessons on Masterclass, then you can just holiday season, one annual membership, get you one free at masterclass.com/pen. Right now, you get two memberships for the price of one at masterclass.com/pen. Masterclass.com/pen. Offer terms apply. Yeah, boy, I like Masterclass. I like being from Masterclass.
Yeah.
It makes me feel...
They're classy. We're classy.
Yeah, well...
We're keeping it classy.
We're trying. We try to keep it classy. I got told today by Glenn that I could talk about the USO tour, but couldn't mention where we were going. And I said, well, I did that last week. I like that I'm now at the point where I'm violating... NDAs before I have them.
Yeah.
Before I have the information, I give it away.
Well, I guess technically you're operating legally, right? Because now you just found out you can't do it, and so now we're not doing it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe someone's going to say to me, well, you'll be smiling out of the other side of your face, motherfucker, when you fuck with the American military.
That's true.
I think maybe it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, yeah.
As they say. Speaking of fucking with people you shouldn't fuck with, last night at the show, you know who was there?
No.
Give you a hint. No Mas.
No Mas.
No Mas. You don't know. Everybody's making fun of me for not knowing No Mas.
No, oh, I'm not one of those people, because clearly I don't know what you're talking
about. How do you not know this? Everybody like you knows this.
Some No Taco Mas. Bell commercial?
No Mas. No Mas.
Okay.
No Mas. Sugar Ray Leonard.
Oh.
Remember?
Yes.
He sent someone out of the ring going, No Mas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Guy went all the way back to Venezuela or something.
Yes.
Very humiliated,
Sugar
Ray Leonard. And I told Tony... that Sugar Ray Leonard was at the show. And he said, tell him that he fucked that guy in the Hagler decision or something.
Yeah, Marvin Hagler.
Hagler.
Yeah,
said,
yeah,
tell
yeah.
Tell him he fucked him in that decision. Should have given a rematch. I said, Tony. That's saying his name three times. That's not referring to the band.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, Tony, do you think it'd be wise for me to start a fist fight with Sugar Ray Leonard backstage at our show?
Right. No.
Because
no.
When I kick his ass, and what happens?
Yeah.
There's all this bad press about me beating up boxers.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want that.
I wouldn't even start a fight with Tony.
You're right. Well, for one, there's three of them.
Yeah.
Or for three, there's three of them. Sugar Ray Leonard looked fit. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Also, and I wouldn't say this to his face, but also incredibly little.
Well, he was a lighter boxer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He very little.
I think some people would find out the hard way that size in professional boxing, even though they may seem little, I think you're still...
You think if I'd started a fight with him,
yeah,
he would have hurt me, you think, a little?
What's your first move? You're going to take on Sugar Ray?
You try to do your hand on the forehead thing, hoping he can't swing underneath your arm.
Good idea. Good idea. Or maybe I'd just say, Mo Larry the cheese. I'd get some cheese and I'd throw a fit and box super fast. You know, like Curly Howard?
Yeah.
We don't know if that works.
No.
If I see a mouse, if I all of a sudden would start fighting.
Yeah.
I mean, Curly Howard was able to win boxing matches, and he wasn't in particularly good shape.
No.
But he won. Yeah.
Kangaroos win boxing matches all the time.
But kangaroos are in good shape.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
They do their burpees all the time. With the little front legs, they smash
really
their
tough.
Faces.
Yeah.
They do that. But I liked Teller was backstage talking to Sugar Ray for a very long time.
Really?
Yeah. I just stopped in, got the picture split.
Yeah. But, well, it's proof that you are not a sports person, mm-hmm. is that what Tony brought up, Marvin Hagler was from Boston. So it was a big Massachusetts.
Rockford.
Yeah.
I think Tony told me that.
Yeah.
Brockton.
Yeah.
He's from Brockton, man, is what Tony said.
Yeah, so.
Well, first of all.
Boston considered that a huge, you know.
Okay.
Controversy.
Okay. Not a sports guy, but also not a tribal location guy.
Yeah.
Go Massachusetts! And third, not from anywhere near Boston. You have to remember that.
That's true,
too. I'm out Western Mass.
Yeah.
In Fentanyl County, Western Mass, which I'm going to be back in Monday.
Right.
And I want to tell all the people that wrote in and said they would give me a ride.
Yeah.
I was regretting the fact I already had one set up. They're really nice people that want to talk about stuff. But one of the reasons I say stuff like that is because it gives me a sense of who's listening.
Right.
You know, there's Brian, who worked with us on Director's Cut, he offered, and I was so happy to hear from him again, and I'll see him in Boston. So Boston is as close to my hometown as you played in a while.
Uh-huh.
You played very close when you played Worcester.
Yes.
And did you playing Worcester?
I did, yeah. They have a statue of a kid fucking a turtle in Worcester.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, get what you can.
They got some famous artists to do some like thing for their park.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go look at it, you can just Google Worcester and kid fucking a turtle. The statue will pop up. And it's undeniable. It's a kid crossed on the knee with a turtle in his crotch. It's bizarre, but it's right there in the town square.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we spend a lot of effort to take down statues of Civil War heroes.
Yeah, and we should.
Right.
We should, because you know... Are we sure it was consensual with the turtle?
All right. We don't know.
We don't know.
But they keep that
but
one up.
But we're
no
pretty
problem.
Sure. We're pretty sure slavery was not consensual. I think that's as close to a certainty as we're going to get.
Yes, I think okay. so. Yeah,
so yeah. The turtle, there's some gray area on the turtle.
Yeah.
That's the good part.
The artist swears it's not the case.
What does he say it is?
That he's playing. You're supposed to imagine them playing on the beach and the turtles on the beach and the kids on the beach.
Why do they have a beach thing in Worcester? Which is Worcester is as fucking landlocked as you can get. There's no beach in Worcester.
I know.
Oh, now we're gonna get letters. What about Lake Winnipesaukee? That's nowhere near that. Lake Winnipesaukee's, I think, in New Hampshire or something. But I'm gonna be back there.
Yeah.
I am staying at the what's it called? The something inn. I should know this. The Hampton Inn, whatever it is.
Hampton?
Hampton Inn. There's a Hampton Inn in Greenfield, Massachusetts.
Oh, there you go. Is that the classy hotel of that?
Oh, sure.
Because you're normally, you know, Four Seasons guy or whatever, right?
Yeah, I sometimes stay in a nice hotel, yeah. But it'll be the Hampton Inn for me.
Yeah.
And I
are the cookies vegan? They always have fresh cookies waiting for you.
At Hampton Inn, they're not vegan. But my nephew, Denny, is going to meet me. I'm going to fly in to Logan.
You know, I know way too much about Hampton Hotels. You know this, right?
Why is that?
Because back in like 2005 or 6,
mm-hmm.
when corporations were like, let's make viral videos, huh? Mm-hmm. I heard about this internet. You can go viral. Let's mm-hmm. do that. Meet up. Let's have a good meeting, everybody. And so they hired 8 improvisers at Hampton Hotels to go around as the Hampton Bedheads and promote all the upgrades they're doing to their hotel rooms while we gave away free stuff and dressed in pajamas with gelled hair to make our hair look purposely and beautifully unkempt from a good night's rest.
So there were 8 of you.
Yes.
And were these people you knew when you started or you got to know them?
I got to know them.
And you traveled around the whole country?
Yes.
Doing improv bits?
On the street.
Not in the lobby?
No, no, no. At like amusement parks and regular parks and
as a Hampton Inn bedheads?
Yes. And we traveled around with PT Cruisers that had our faces on the side of it. And I got pulled over driving the car. And the guy goes, Do you have any license registration? Well, this is a rental. And he goes, well, you don't have any evidence that you're supposed to be the person driving this car. And I said, well, my face is above the right rear wheel well if you want to take a look.
It's a Stephen Wright joke, right?
What's that joke?
I accidentally put my car keys in my apartment door and it started right up.
Yeah, yeah.
Drove it around town. Cop pulled me over, said, where do you live? I said, right here.
That's right. Yeah. So I would tell people, so I know all about their new duvet covers, their lap desks, their upgraded hotel rooms. It's all.
They have lap desks?
Yeah, they have lap desks.
You just ask for them?
Yeah, you just ask for them, nice cushioned little things you can work on your bed.
And so they had a little turtle hole in the back.
A little turtle shell. You can just pull up on your lap.
Yeah, you just fuck the turtle while you're doing your laptop.
That's what they do at the Worcester one.
Yeah.
They changed.
Was that a good, how long did you do that for?
6 weeks.
And was it a good job?
Oh,
that's a long time to fuck a turtle.
Well, they're slow. Slow and low, that is the tempo.
They had hired a bunch of improv comics. Mm-hmm. And then I had done this thing in New York called the Neutrino Video Projects, where we made like improvised movies.
Right, I remember that.
And so because of that, I had taught that in multiple cities. So I had connections to a lot of improv theaters. So my job, my side job, was to get us improv shows in every town that we played. And I did that. So we got to do a bunch of improv shows, which was super fun.
And did people look at you on the street? How did you gather the crowd?
Yeah, we were all wearing like matching t-shirts and kind of pajamas and stuff like that. And so, yeah, and then once you start giving away one thing, you get a crowd pretty quickly. And then we just try to get in your talking points about Hampton Hotels.
And you're giving away stays?
No, we were giving away t-shirts, like Starbucks cards with the envelopes for the Hampton Hotel envelope cards.
Yeah.
I stole a bunch of those. And bobblehead pens, that kind of stuff. Just tchotchke stuff. Yeah.
And were they happy with it? Were Hampton Inn happy?
Yeah, they were happy with the videos. I don't know if we technically ever went viral with any of our stuff, but actually we did do some really funny videos. It was
fun. Did you have a suit with you?
No, just one of us was in charge of being the suit.
Ah.
Which was a mixed blessing for that person.
And you stayed at all Hampton Inn.
That's it. We stayed at Hampton everywhere. So yeah.
And did they welcome you with open arms? Here come the bedheads.
In the smaller towns, yes. In like larger cities, no. Uh-huh. It was a burden to make accommodations for us.
I see.
Funniest thing that happened is that Canada has much different laws and rules about what you can suddenly do on the street.
I see.
So we had to go to Canada.
That's being French.
We had to go there for 5 days. We basically weren't allowed to do our job for 5 days while we stayed in the Hampton Hotel.
There's no street performing?
Not unless you get like a application permit, that kind of stuff.
I see.
And they weren't going to give it to a bunch of Americans, people trying to advertise a hotel. So that was a fun wrinkle in it.
When you got pulled over.
Yes.
Did you pull out a camera and say, I don't answer questions?
Just so you know, I'm filming you. And this is my First Amendment right to do so. And then I kept rolling.
What were you pulled over for?
I came in a little hot off for an on-ramp to a highway.
I see.
I got up to highway speed prematurely.
Back at the gas station.
Yeah.
Get to highway speed out of the gas station. Yeah. So you were I'll be at the Hampton Inn.
Yeah.
I won't be a bedhead, but I'll be at the Hampton.
Very delicious coffee waiting for you when you get there.
What are the other talking points on the Hampton?
they upgraded to big white duvet covers. So it wasn't whatever kind of ratty hotel reputation it might have had. They went to a bright white duvet cover to make it seem super nice.
And no ultraviolet light.
No ultraviolet light.
That was their big selling point. You won't see what's on the duvet cover. Come to Hampton Inn.
Yeah. They basically just upgraded all their rooms, so all the stuff was new.
I actually, you know, you talk about how I stay at Four Seasons,
yes,
five-star hotels. I got to tell you, a business hotel,
yeah,
I really like, because they have a lot of electrical outlets,
yep,
and good desks,
yeah,
good desk chairs. I like that a lot.
Yep. Yeah.
So I've stayed at this Hampton Inn before.
Yeah.
When I visited Greenfield.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to that. I'm also going to go.
Is Masterclass going to be so pissed about how much we're talking about Hampton Hotels?
I don't think so. But Because I think that there's probably a master class on Hampton Oaks. Because you can learn everything. Continuing education. I'm going to go to the home I grew up in.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Because I still own it, but someone else.
It'd be cool, no matter what, like to have access to your childhood home. I think it's just an interesting idea. But your dad built the house, right?
My mom and dad.
Yeah.
My mom carried every cinder block.
That's unbelievable. Yeah.
They put it all together. There isn't a thing in the house. Well, no, that is not true. The electrical wiring, my dad did not trust himself to do. So he got someone in to do the electrical
wiring. Still smart. That's smart to do it that way.
And my mother designed it
because
she wanted the sun to come into the kitchen just the right way. Yeah. And it was designed so that all the bottom floor they could live on without going upstairs or down for when they get older.
Yeah.
And, you know, they essentially, my mother actually died in the house. And my dad was up there, was in the house till 3 weeks before.
Some say if you're walking by that house late at night, you look in the top window.
And my room, because my parents never needed it, and because the woman who lives there now, Chris, she doesn't need it. My room is exactly as I left it when I was 18.
For real?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's... Take some pictures of that.
I've got a lot of pictures of that. Yeah. You've got a...
white duvet?
You've got a white duvet. Got some good...
You want no black light in that room.
No.
I'll tell you that much.
Some
right
Dylan
now.
Posters.
High school pen.
Some Dylan posters.
Yeah.
Some Beatle posters. Some other hippie things. And then the last thing up there is a Springsteen poster.
Yeah.
From 1973.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. It just says Bruce Springsteen.
No, E Street Band.
I think it was E Street Band.
Okay.
Maybe. But there's nothing else. There's no picture.
Right.
Nothing. It's just like a stamped street poster. Because it was a show that a friend of mine produced in Jersey.
Oh, man.
That didn't sell out. Right. Springsteen not selling out in Jersey. And, you know, there's a poster for the Cheerleaders, which was a very, very softcore movie. And Fritz the Cat. And I was watching the Cheerleaders, actually, when John Lennon was shot. So I have an alibi.
Patchouli oil or?
Sure. Of course. And there's also... the books I was reading the day I left, you know, On the Road and J.D. Salinger, Nine Stories and Moby Dick are all like, I didn't read Moby Dick.
Hop on Pop.
Yeah, Hop on Pop. Which is essentially what On the Road is. You know, Allen Ginsberg would often call Jack Kerouac Pop. I'm going to go there. And then I'm going to go visit the Ding Dong Man. The man who taught me everything.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I skipped school and I rode in the Ding Dong truck with my friend John Norton.
Yeah.
And he gave me reading assignments and tests. And I was really tutored by him and not the school system.
Right.
And then I'm going to go to Northampton to visit him. He's in his 80s now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go visit him for a little while. Yeah. No Ding Dong for him.
No Ding Dong for him.
And then I'm going to go to West Springfield and visit Beverly, my high school English teacher.
Yes.
Who I was very good friends with.
She's still on Facebook.
Oh, really?
I think we interact from time to time because you're off Facebook.
Well, I'm going to go see her. And the whole time I'm going to be with Elliot, my maple sugar farmer friend. He's coming down from Vermont. And I wrote an email.
The movie theater you got fired from is still open there?
Yeah, sure. Doesn't say Clint Eastwood, the L and I together any longer. My transgression. But, you know, I just thought you would fill in for the missing eye, right? You know, so Clint Eastwood, when you see C-U-N-T, that's clearly
Clint.
Sure.
Yeah.
And there's a vegan restaurant, not, you know, like in Hadley or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And Denny and Elliot. And I also reached out to, but did not get an answer, to the woman who wrote to the Week.
Oh, come on. Get it together.
Yeah. I wanted to have maybe coffee. It'd be like the Greenfield Algonquin Roundtable.
You guys just be hosting a Q&A at the library.
Sure. Sure. You know, Denny is, I love Denny. He now, my nephew Denny, works for his son.
Yeah.
In landscaping. And I always got to tell this story, although I've told it here probably five times. But my discussion with Denny about chainsaws.
Chainsaws. Keeping a chainsaw tied to a rope.
Yep. Tied to a rope. Yeah. Which you just ruined the punchline. A very Godot moment there.
Oh, shoot.
So I thought that was the setup. You stopped me from telling the story. That's
good. I really did.
You did a good job at that. So that stopped me from repeating a story. I repeat too much. So that's my plan. Then I go to Boston, and I do. I'm going to see Paul Gertner in Boston.
That's going to be very
five-time fool us person.
Yeah,
I'm going to see. He does a little show. I mean, little in terms of small crowd. I guess everybody knows what the word little means.
The parlor show.
Parlor show. Which I think both Teller and I are going to. So Paul Gertner, Saturday afternoon, 2:00 at some hotel. We're going to go see Paul Gertner.
Oh, man.
Man, I've told you before, I think his Miss Shuffled is the best card trick there is.
Yeah.
But I never bothered to learn. And I still want to. I was thinking maybe when this novel's finished, I'll spend some time on getting that trick down.
Yeah.
But maybe I won't. Jason Garfield keeps sending me pictures of when I weighed 117 pounds and had 217 pounds and had stomach muscles and guns, and keeps sending me pictures going, don't you want to look like this again? Don't you want to look like this again? So I don't know what I'm going to do. When I finish this novel, it'll be the next step. Although I think Spanish is here forever.
Yeah.
And Jandro finished his first short, his movie.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Very cool.
And looks really great. Looks really great. So that'll be exciting to see. He's going to leave magic in the dust. He's on to directing now.
It's possible, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jandro is able to do shit.
Yeah.
He's able to learn stuff. He's one of those people that really does learn things.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to learn to write jokes, and he got a lot of books on writing jokes, and he learned to write jokes. And was head writer.
Yeah.
You know, then he wanted to learn magic with Juan Temerith.
Yeah.
And he learned magic.
Yeah.
And now, you know, he took a director's course at NYU.
Yeah.
And he read a lot of books on directing. And now he's written like five scripts and he wants to direct. I would not bet against Jandro.
No.
No.
And I bet I would love to see his films.
Yeah. That's a good bet.
Yeah.
So Fool Us is on.
Yeah.
Fool Us is, and I mean, Donald Trump said this many times about Celebrity Apprentice, and as always, he was lying his fucking ass off.
Yes.
Oh, it's the top show. No, it's not, Donald. But Fool Us is the top-rated show on CW.
Yeah.
It actually is. And I think she made it better. She's really good.
She's also just posting stuff about it all the time on her social media and stuff, which is really great.
And also, if there is another season, we are going to stick Brooke Burke in a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
We got, Tell and I are already talking about it a lot.
It's going to make an early Copperfield special.
Yeah.
People going in and out of boxes.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Which is very reductive to David's fine work in his early things.
Beautifully stated.
I don't want to accidentally shit talk Copperfield.
Right.
There are times we've purposely shit talked Copperfield.
Sure.
But this wasn't one of the times I was going for that.
Right.
Yeah.
So no reason to do accidental.
Yeah.
Accidental.
I don't want to.
Although there are other magicians that accidental is fine. But David's okay.
That was no cleanup on this is some other magician.
No, we don't clean up at all.
Yeah.
But here's the problem that we have solved. Teller and I did not feel comfortable, with some exceptions, with using a female assistant who would just be brought out to do the tricks.
Well, I joke all the time. When it comes to illusion work in general, you guys don't do a lot of big box illusions.
Right.
And if you do illusions, you tend to favor someone in a gorilla costume over a woman.
Yeah.
You tend to just do
Which it. Is also true in my personal life.
Like there's some other posters in that bedroom.
Or a turtle.
Wait, that's a costume?
We always didn't know how to handle that, you know?
Yeah.
Because we used Georgie for a sawing and a couple other things, but it always seemed like bring him out as a showgirl, even if we do that with a wink, it still is disrespectful.
Yeah, TSA, she's, you know, military garb, bazooka, that kind of stuff.
We're always trying to dance around that.
Yeah.
Because there's a built-in misogyny to magic.
Yeah.
And we are, cis white males.
Yeah.
And we've had enough of fucking white men pushing women around.
You say it like you've towed the line. You guys have had pretty much this standard for a very long time before people were really talking about, when you kind of were the only people talking about.
We were the only people talking about it.
Yeah.
When we first were talking in the 80s about how women were treated in magic shows,
yeah.
I don't think anyone else was saying it. There's a big article in the New York Times today about women in magic.
Yeah.
And
shout out to Gabriella Lester.
It's her article.
Yeah.
It's really nice. It's all true. And now everyone's talking about that, you know?
Yeah.
But in 85, it had to be two white guys talking about it because no one was listening to any women in magic.
I think that's where the sensibilities, modern sensibilities have changed. It used to be if you were a white guy advocating for minorities or oppressed, it was like, great, thank you. Mm-hmm. Now it feels like, we got it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's the hard part. But no, because of covering Casey at the bat,
mm-hmm.
you make fun of an old, why is it hippie shoving different women in different boxes?
Yeah.
Right at the top of that act, you know? I think that's a good example of that time that was kind of subversive.
It was, but I mean, it wouldn't be now.
No, but I'm saying I do it now, and people kind of go like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You know, like the line doesn't hit as like a whatever, just as like, they're like, yeah.
And we wouldn't do it. You know, we just wouldn't do it. And they would ask us to do it. But we have solved that issue because in a certain sense, you could say, I mean, Burk is the host of Fool Us.
Yes.
And you could cheat that she's the boss. But we don't have to do that as long as she's perceived as complete equal.
Yep.
Which she certainly
is. Much like Georgie and you in Fire Eating.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Then we can shove her in boxes.
Plus, she wants to. That's the other weird thing is that aside from all that, it is like an avenue of pursuit. And there are people who are dancers that find it much more interesting to be in a magic show than maybe a more standard dance show. Like I have friends who are dancers. When I tell them about magic, they're like, "Oh, you do anything with illusions of boxes?" And like they light up, like they loved doing it.
That's because they haven't been in it much.
They weren't in for it long enough to have permanent spinal damage or whatever.
As someone who's been in
little
tiny spaces hiding for a long time, the charm will get lost on you quickly. You know, when we did that, whatever it was, $1 million in quarters.
Yeah.
Where Teller and I were hiding in that little tiny space.
Yeah.
And we measured everything. So it was the smallest space that Teller and I could get into together.
Oh.
And we were in there for 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Just our faces touching and not able to move.
No.
I've always told the story, which amazes me. We had one air intake and a guy decided to take his smoke break right at the air intake. So all we were breathing was cigarette smoke. And no one could hear us or we didn't even know what was going on outside.
Yeah.
We were there for 3.5 hours, then boom, we're produced. but a big part of what will make that okay is that Brooke will come out of the box and she will have the stage.
Yes.
That's kind of everything.
Absolutely.
Usually, the assistant comes out, stuck in the box. When I say usually, I mean usually 40 years ago.
Yeah.
They come out. They're just at best oogled at.
Right.
At best oogled at. Yeah. Usually ignored.
Yeah.
They go into this. Something happens to them. They come out and they run off stage. They take a bow. Maybe their name is yelled. Right?
Yeah.
But when we do it with Brooke, she'll do a whole thing before and during and after, and it'll be Brooke's bit.
Yes.
And that changes it. And that also allows us to rely on previously solved problems. We can rely on technology that already exists.
Yes. Yeah.
And Brooke is, you know, we have evidence that Brooke is dying to do it. Now, at the end of that season,
yeah,
Brooke may feel differently.
That's true.
It might charm may have worn off.
One and done. Yeah. But yeah, you have an upcoming illusion that hasn't aired yet that Brooke watched from the side and was just seething with jealousy.
Yeah, she really wanted to.
That she was not in it.
She wanted to do it.
We can talk about some of the tricks that you have done.
Not yet, though.
No.
First, I want to talk about Masterclass.
Let's do it.
Masterclass is a wonderful, wonderful gift because people want lifelong learning.
That's right.
It's really important. And I like to put these two things together just because of alphabetical order. They have the best instructors.
That's right. They're the best instructors in the world.
In the world. And we are among them.
Yep.
I like to do those two things together. it's really, really nice. There's 11 categories, 180 plus instructors. The instructors are all, not present company accepted, all world-class experts
top
in their field.
Notch.
Or they have a partner who's an expert. One or the other. You can watch it and experience it any way you want. Do you have to even say this stuff anymore? Is it like when they were still saying shows were in color? It's just like, yes, it's available on every tablet, every phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Every
computer, you can get on a map.
Every television, everything.
Yeah.
You can listen in any sort of chunks you want. And the stuff is beautifully, beautifully produced.
Yeah.
Gorgeously produced. And also, in terms of lifelong learning, what's fascinating about the Masterclass people is that they do it themselves.
Yeah.
You're assigned a couple producers and they come and talk to you about what you're trying to teach and they learn it and then figure out how they want to pass that information on.
Yeah.
And that's really, really important. They don't just set up cameras and let the instructors yap.
Yeah.
They don't just do that. They really have it focused.
Even one of the coolest things about yours is that I know that you don't have a deck of cards in people's hands. Like, it's beginner tricks, but they're not card tricks.
Right. We start really, really simple. And,
yeah.
But really simple and really useful.
Right.
That you'll use a whole career. And also a lot of stuff that you learn that isn't directly applicable to your life, but indirectly is. What have you been looking at? Either one of you?
Amy Poehler.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Now, talk about world class. How do you do better than that?
Honestly, I don't think there has ever been a better improviser. So the fact that they got Amy, just kudos to Masterclass for getting her to do it.
So did you watch it?
I did.
How good is it?
It's great.
And are you doing improvisation now, Randy Rich?
You should ask me what the class is on.
What is the class on?
Homosexuality in the Animal Kingdom. She plays with the format, is what I'm getting at.
That's really, really great. And is it just crazy funny?
It is, and there's an audience.
Oh, really? Oh, that's really nice.
Wow.
Yeah, she is really good.
Yeah.
She's really good. I haven't watched her nearly enough.
Yeah, yeah.
But my son is just, you know, who studies comedy pretty seriously.
Right.
He
big Parks and Rec guy.
Yeah, and he's just she's a masterclass in herself.
Yeah.
So this holiday season, they got a great deal for you. It's always hard to find what you're going to buy for people in the holidays.
Uh-huh.
And there's very few people on your list that don't want to do lifelong learning. I mean, that's what we all do. That's where joy is. And this holiday season, give one annual membership and get one free. What a deal.
Yeah.
At masterclass.com/pen. Right now, you get two memberships for the price of one at masterclass.com/pen. Masterclass.com/pen. Offer terms apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So what tricks are we talking about here?
First trick you guys did on season 10 is you guys pulled up your old Letterman bit and updated it with the signed lima bean.
Yeah, you know, that trick, the lima bean trick,
yeah.
I had been pushing to do on Foolus for 5 years.
Really?
And Teller'd been putting the kibosh on it.
Oh.
You thought, yeah, you know, it's all right. And I thought, I think it would be great. And people seem to love it, right?
Oh, it's very funny. It's a very funny routine.
Yeah.
I think it was...
You were part of that, right?
Yes. Yeah. And you did a couple little little touches on it that helped, even from the time it was on Letterman. It was also interesting that, like, to... Again, talking about doing things in their time, right? There's however many years ago you did that on Letterman. We're trying to figure out a context to do it now. Do you remember the first rehearsals?
Yeah.
We went into it and you started doing stuff. And at first you brought up the bullet catch stuff. And as soon as you said it once, you and Teller immediately were like,
nope. No, we hated it.
Not that.
Yeah.
And so the dangers of legumes came through or whatever. But it's a very funny routine.
Yeah.
But yes.
I believe, was it the first thing we shot with Brooklyn?
It was.
Yeah,
it was.
I think so, yeah.
It was. And then I think it's funny that Teller put the kibosh on for 5 years because it's Teller acting with blood. It's like you guys have a certain lane that you don't always explore still, but his acting with blood in his hands is really funny. My kids were dying when they watched it. It was a very funny routine. On the same show, obviously we talked about your child fooling you
to
a great deal, but we did not discuss... The Cosmic Romantics, who also aired on that, and they fooled you as well. And they had the ukulele, the songbook.
Oh, they were wonderful.
Yes.
They were really wonderful. There's this whole kind of person who just gets into that 40s woman's look.
Yeah.
I mean, your wife's kind of one of them sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember...
1940s.
1940s, yeah.
Just to be clear.
Oh, you mean as opposed to a 40-year-old?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the 1940s look, they do that. And your wife does it sometimes.
With the Apple Sisters, yeah.
Yeah, with the Apple Sisters. But some people, I remember meeting Tape Face over in England.
Yeah.
He was a boy with tape on his face.
Yeah.
And the woman that he was with, I don't know, in some way, just lived it all the time.
Right.
She was like, you know, Fred Willard.
Yeah, yeah.
She was, you know, all her slang... All her speech and everything was tied into that.
Yes.
And these people seem pretty deeply in.
They're I think so.
I mean, do you know them?
I do. But of course, I've only seen them in magic environments. So I don't necessarily know if they clock out or not because I saw Magic Live and that kind of stuff. Super cool, super nice people. Mm-hmm. And it was a very fun act. One of those weird things of mentalist routines and duo routines where there's so many possibilities of how to do that trick. Mm-hmm. You have a partner. And in Foolish, you have to guess one guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you have, of course, every magic know-it-all trying to be like, what? That was a fooler? Come on, guys, blah, blah. But
that's the problem. We can't take a lot of bites of the apple, is that
no, so? No, no.
Is that the right cliche?
I think so.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, when you want to have colorful speech and people really understand what you're talking about, going to apple dunking is really something we all think about
all
so often.
We all do. And that kind of thing.
Have you ever dunk for apples?
We one time had apple dunking at one of our Halloween parties. Just amateurs. Just thought, fill up a thing with water, put apples in it.
Wash tub.
You're done.
Mm-hmm. Were you an adult at this time?
Yeah. And kids and adults, it's a very hard.
You did it when you had children?
Yes.
Okay. So you did it for your children?
Did it for children, but adults also took turns at it because the kids were terrible at it.
Mm-hmm.
The adults were like, we'll show you. And then the adults were terrible at it. It's a very difficult game.
It also was a, you know who loves that game?
Who?
Germs. They love that game. They say, hey, use some kind of body temperature water, and would you all just spit into it and then stick your faces in? Please keep your eyes open. That's what the germs say. Oh, we love this, you know. And the bacteria and the virus, they vie for position. But
those are the real winners.
Yeah. Those are the real winners because you get to laughing and you snorts out your nose and then the next person goes apple bobbing. It's very, very.
Those are the infectious diseases we created along the way.
Sure. And, you know, very few people do apple bobbing with the right amount of chlorine.
Yeah.
No.
No.
No, not a dot of chlorine there.
No, no, no.
Were you able to ever do it?
No.
I think it's really, really hard.
Yeah.
And also the apples are a little hard and they get away from your
teeth.
But,
I found it to be impossible.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you couple it with the wet t-shirt contest.
Right. That's it.
Becomes more then interesting.
It's much better. Yeah, yeah. The whole multiple bites of the apple, just going for one, I was done. So I don't know. It's very rare you go for a second bite of the apple.
Yeah, you didn't want to pick one up, though, right?
No.
Was anybody able to?
I don't think
you
so.
You don't have any vampire friends?
No, I have no vampire for people who
lot of
secretly
people,
have telekinesis
lot,
powers.
A lot of times, vampires with that little tooth, they come in, they just hit it on one and pick it right up. That's one of the tests, you know. A lot of times, where I'm from in Greenfield, Mass.,
yeah.
they would just float across in the apple dumping thing to stop vampires coming in and cheating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just float across there.
Merits. Merit-based.
But, I mean, someone must have been good at it, right? Apple dunking?
Yeah.
Wasn't there another thing where you put an apple on a string?
I've seen that with donuts.
Well, that's really easy, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Donut on a string. That's how you would
eat it. We do it for speed, though, yeah. Whoever can most quickly eat the donut off of the string.
There's also a thing where you had to, like, swim and then eat a cracker and whistle.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm talking about, huh?
No, no.
Oh, yeah. How about the Ritz cracker in a circle around the fire with your Boy Scouts? Pretend you don't know what that is, too. No, we had a thing when I was in the Boy Scouts.
We used to cookie, but go ahead.
Yeah, we had to swim across the Green River, which is the river that ran through our town that we called a swimming pool. We did.
I know.
You'd swim across the river.
Yeah.
Then you'd get a saltine cracker. You had to eat it, and then you had a whistle.
Oh.
And everybody would get hysterical laughing, and they couldn't do it. And
because the salt of the thing in your mouth presents you from
no,
whistling?
It's just you got giggling. And,
okay, yeah, yeah.
But my friend, who was, I think, a sociopath.
Yeah.
Those kind of things, he got no pleasure from. He just won. He'd swim really fast and go. That was it.
Next.
Yeah, without even the slightest smile. You know, everybody else laughing hysterically, him just winning. Every competition, he would win.
Yeah.
And get no joy from it.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, something a sociopath can do.
I think so.
Yeah. And once again, I don't like when people do that, and here I am doing it. I'm throwing around psychological terms in a lighthearted way, and I shouldn't really be doing that.
Cold-blooded.
Just let's just do that. Let's yeah. keep it. Let's keep it that way. So we couldn't take a second bite of the apple.
No.
Although I would enjoy apple dunking with those two people. I think that
right.
would be a fun thing to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Episode 2, we'll go to your trick first. That's where you decided you could juggle any three objects.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that a fun one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, you know that it is a classic juggling challenge, the three object thing?
The Karamazovs.
Yeah.
I mean, I do believe it goes back before them.
Right.
But the Karamazovs popularized it.
Famous.
And they really did it. I mean, they would anything, and they would tear shit apart. You know, someone would say, you know, can you juggle my purse? And they'd rip it to pieces. You know, that was part of the comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I like...
I heard tale of emptying a carton of ice cream onto the stage mm-hmm. and having to juggle melting ice cream.
Yeah.
Or someone's put a dead squid on stage. And they
a
juggle,
dead squid? They juggle. Yeah. Squid. They would do all that stuff. So it's setting up that and not really delivering.
Yeah.
Because Teller, it was really a bowling ball production.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Secretly a magic trick or whatever. And again, Teller's acting. Just there, just eagerly waiting. Hang his hand when you guys want to do it. But you did juggle.
I did. I juggled a ping pong ball, apple.
Yeah, and a bowling ball.
This is the real apple show. You know, do you eat enough apples? I don't eat enough apples.
I don't.
Every time I have them. You know what's a weird thing about an apple?
What's that?
A really weird thing? If you cut it up, it's better to eat than just eating it like you normally would.
Right.
And I don't know why that is.
And my wife does it, dips it in like a cashew butter. And every time I have one... It's so good that I never think to do it for myself ever.
Mm.
I'm going to change. 2024, New Year's resolution. Cut my own apple slices.
Cut your own apple slices, put almond butter on them.
That's right.
You know, you would think that pistachio butter would be the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
It's not.
I have tried it. Yeah, yeah.
Fuck pistachio butter.
Yeah.
Pistachio butter is, it's like me in my schooling, not living up to its potential.
I also don't enjoy shelled pistachios as much as shelling and eating them myself.
I like shelled pistachios because I believe shelled pistachios are a wish I made when I was 12 years old that came true. Because I would try to have willpower and like shell 50 of them and then eat them all.
Oh.
I would try to do that. And the willpower was really, really hard. And I would just say, boy, wouldn't it be great to live in a world? If I were really rich, I'd get people to shell my pistachios for me. And when shell pistachios came out, it was like God had answered my prayers. It was really, really, really wonderful. And I kept wondering, I mean, is other stuff going to happen? Like, am I going to be fucking Barbara Eden too? Because it was about the time I would eat pistachios, wish they were shelled, and wish I was fucking Barbara Eden.
How are there shelled pistachios? Like,
I don't know how they do it. It must be dynamite.
Like sonic rattling.
I don't know. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. But I'm amazed that you don't like, I don't like pistachio butter, but I do like shell pistachios.
I do enjoy them. I don't enjoy them as much as when I shell my own pistachios.
Oh, I don't like that. But it is one of the greatest things. Phil Lesh,
yeah,
who is not someone who's quoted often on Sunday School.
No.
The bass player
for
the
Grateful Dead. Might be a first, yeah.
Bass player for the Grateful Dead.
Yes.
There was an interview with him which stuck with me so much, and I just remember laughing and laughing and laughing. They, you know, the Grateful Dead made more money than like anybody.
Yeah.
And they asked him what it was like to be as rich as he was. And Phil Lesh said, you know, when you're eating pistachios and there's some of them that are closed up and you can't get your fingernails in, your thumbnails in. Yeah, I just throw them away now. That was his entire take on being rich. And you know exactly what he means, right?
Yes.
Because those people go, oh, I'll crack it open my teeth.
I'll do something. Yeah, I'll start there.
And the idea that I'm wealthy enough, fuck it.
Fuck that nut.
Just to throw it away. It's just beautiful. Just beautiful. Made me laugh so much.
Yeah.
Phil Lesh. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Phil.
Is Phil still alive? Still with us?
I have no idea. No.
So there was only one act on the first show of Fool Us?
You guys did one act on the first show of Fool Us. You had two Foolers, Moxie and the Cosmic Romantics. You had Doxian, who did the crazy ass cups and balls with eggs and like cloches.
Oh, yeah. And, that was crazy ass. It was
good.
Yeah,
it was very funny.
Yeah.
And David Schwartz, who I believe had the poured Coke can routine.
Oh, yeah.
On show two, you had one Fooler, and it was the largest production of a card to mouth in the history of magic.
Oh, yeah, the woman.
Yes, Alexandra.
So good.
She was good.
She was really good. And the method was a motherfucker.
Yes.
I mean, there's very few ways to do card in the mouth, and it's always cute, but it's not really deceptive. She is brilliant. What's her name?
Alexandra.
Just one name?
Yeah, one name. Yeah.
Oh, she was good. Yeah. I just thought she was great. I hope she shows up a lot of the... Is she be doing a lot of other stuff?
I believe so. She's a Nick Frewin protege.
Ah.
And so, yeah, he works with her up there in Canada, I believe. Mm-hmm. Or Northern America. He'll tell us.
Canada is Northern America. It is America.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget that, please.
Right.
Because they get... touch you.
I'm accidentally talking shit left and right today.
You are. You're just saying that David Copperfield with his shitty fucking box tricks should move up to Canada and get out of America. Is that what essentially you're saying today?
I guess so. I'm always, you know, like when I used to, I've watched this show as a non-magician and I've watched the show as a magician.
Mm-hmm.
And getting to know some magic, boy, doesn't help you at all figuring out who is and isn't going to be a Fooler. I thought for sure this is just a nice stage version of something that I've seen like Blake Vogt do and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then your guess was my guess. And then we were wrong.
Oh, for the card?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. It did have
that Vogt feel.
Yes.
It had that Vogt feel and it won.
And it was
a little Vogt. It was a little bit of Vogt.
Yeah.
A little bit of Vogt.
Also in that same show, this episode too, Anthony Dempsey came out with his grandmother and did this.
Oh, yeah. That's where I was dead for a long time. Right?
Well, the grandmother died?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I did.
And then you died, yes. Yeah, you died as when you went as part of the bust. You died delivering the bust.
Yeah.
And Teller didn't give a shit, just so you know. Just kept drinking his coffee. He didn't care at all. or his tea or whatever is in that cup of vodka. But
Teller and I could watch each other die and feel nothing.
This was a real divisive bit. Some people really responded, did not like this bit at all.
The dead grandmother?
Yeah. And other people, like me, thought it was hysterical all the way through. The grandmother staying dead for the entire interview. I was reminded of your stories of Die Comfortably.
Yeah.
Because those interviews go on for a long time. We air little chunks of them. But
it's one of the most important pieces of advice you can get in show business.
Yeah.
Is if you're in any sort of play or bit or sketch,
yeah,
die comfortably. Because, you know, when we did Penn and Teller Get Killed,
yeah,
I was dead for 4 days of shooting.
Oh.
I would come into work. I would lay on the floor.
Oh, man.
And Arthur Penn said to me, okay, because he'd worked with Warren Beatty and lots of others.
Yeah.
He said, Penn, you're going to die in this scene. And most important is die comfortably. Because we will take a picture of how you died. And you'll be there every day for 4 days.
Ha! Oh, man.
So die comfortably. And the grandmother died comfortably.
Yes.
And so did I.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had my hand up so I could rest my forehead. It was very nice.
Then we had Artem, who's from Russia, did like a kind of a cool manipak, black and white.
Black and white guy.
Yeah. Super slick. Really cool stuff. Rune Carlson did a coin trick, but the coin case was pills and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a pill prediction thing. Yeah. It's really slickly done. Episode 3, you and Teller performed Needle in a Haystack.
Oh, yeah. Is that a good one?
Yes.
That's a good one.
That was a really interesting part of this season for me, being around you guys, because you've had some semblance of this idea for a very long time.
We started talking about Needle in a Haystack probably in 1980.
Yeah. And then privately for me, what was most funny was that when we first started working on our rehearsals, we had a bunch of different dialogue. Mm-hmm. And I told you a story where I saw Alex Ramone perform, and he really took time clarifying whether the person understood the difference between suits of cards.
Yeah.
And you laughed, and you're like, and as I said that story, punchline was like, who hurt you that this is what has to happen for the trick to have happen? And you were confident, like, yeah, but we don't have to, I'm positive that the audience will be able to do that.
Yeah.
And then after the runs of shows you did and what you did on Fool Us, you're like, what's your card? What's the needle? Good. What's your card? What's the needle? Good. Like the whole time, because I said to you in rehearsal, you're asking an audience member on the spot to remember two things, not one.
Right.
And that can go sideways fast.
And you know, when I do it live now, I don't know how I did it on TV.
Yeah.
When I do it live now, I say we need somebody who can remember two pieces of information.
Yeah.
And I say we didn't used to have to say that, but now marijuana is legal. And it gets a laugh, and you know it's completely true.
Yes, it is true.
With marijuana legal, it has changed every magic show in Vegas. And I'm not lying.
No.
I'm not lying. Piff and Mac and all of us have to be very careful, because you get people on stage. They want to come on stage. They're very mellow.
Yeah.
No, right?
Yeah.
And they don't remember shit.
You added that clarifying aspect to Souvenir. Yeah, I need someone who can shuffle cards. Not someone who can shuffle cards this morning. Someone who can shuffle cards now. And then the hands go down.
Right, yeah.
Which I think is one of the funniest things. And you were doing a card trick where you had the audience organize their cards.
Oh, yeah.
You passed them all over the stage.
Yeah.
And the legalization happened while that was in your lineup. Like, it was pre and post.
Mm-hmm.
And you realized that trick suddenly became very difficult to do.
Very difficult for the audience, because they had to sort all the cards by number and suit in their hand.
Yeah.
And that is impossible on certain strains of marijuana. But I'll tell you, that's where you want to get a tweaker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there was one performance of that show that I got a woman on stage.
Yeah.
And she was, maybe I'm wrong, but she sure looked like she was beating her fucking brains out.
Yeah.
She was just going a million miles an hour. Maybe it was just like, 10 5-hour energy drinks.
Right.
Or maybe it was like Trucker Speed or Black Beauties or something.
Yeah.
But she had something going on. Would you sort those cards, please? Sure.
Time.
Nothing else in the world.
I bet she'd get that apple.
Except sort of, damn straight. Yeah.
Good whistle, no problem, post-cracker.
No problem, post-cracker. Yeah, that was a trick we've been trying to do for so long.
Yeah.
And of course, once again, Hondro.
That was fascinating. I knew it was something you were working for a long time. I didn't realize how long until now. And then Hondro and you two really hammered at it for like 3 days, come up with different, all kinds of different things. Mm-hmm. You were happy with it.
Jack was there and he was useless.
But as soon as you felt like you had it, I remember Nate just designed the hay bale.
Yeah.
Then he came to rehearsal the next day and it was built. Mm-hmm. Ready to rock. You guys ran it twice and you both just turned to Aaron and were like, this can go in the show.
Yeah.
And you just put it right in the show.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. The fucking, you know, J curve of going from 1980 to then all of a sudden three rehearsals. And then by the time you actually just staged it twice, it was just in and it's been in.
And we do not use hay.
Right.
We use, what's it called? Raffi?
Something like that. Yeah. Like whatever. It's
palm fronds. Palm fronds.
Yeah.
And Teller is very particular about his palm fronds. And you can't get them the length that Teller wants them.
No.
So one of the jobs of the shop is to cut each piece of palm frond by a ruler how long Teller wants it. So Mox was very excited because Moxie was working for the Penn and Teller crew.
Yeah.
Nate was her boss, and Mox went in to do a job there. And the first thing they had them do was to cut palm fronds. That was the first thing, the second thing, third thing.
All day.
All 3 days.
Oh, geez.
3 days of doing nothing but taking scissors and going, cutting each piece of supposed hay that would fall on Teller. Bandages, thumb, index finger, calluses all over.
Oh.
And Zeke going, you know, Mox, Teller really cares about this. You got to be perfect. And Teller will complain. If one piece of hay falls on him that is not the right length, he will complain. But that's a good trick. I like that.
Good trick.
You know, I always like to talk about failures because it's so much easier to find them than successes. I was sure, positive, for a needle in a haystack. You know, originally I wanted to do it without a card involved.
Yes.
So we needed a way to make a needle unique.
Yeah.
So I wanted them to pick one of, you know, 50 different kinds of needles.
Yeah.
Then I wanted them to take needle nose pliers and bend that needle into a shape that they could remember, then take out their cell phone, take a picture of that needle, throw it into a haystack, then we would make it appear on a thread.
Yeah.
And they would take the needle, take the picture that they had taken before and say, yes, that's my needle. That was my idea. I was stuck on that idea for probably 4 years.
Right.
And we'd give people needle nose pliers and we'd go, ming, and they would bend it and they'd always hurt themselves and it never looked good. And then when they took the picture, because it's turning three dimensions into two dimensions, the needle never looked the same. It would be the same exact fucking needle. And even we doing it would just go, it doesn't look like the same needle.
Oh.
So that was.
We experimented with like stickers and initialed stickers, but all that made that like took all the heat off of the needle.
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah.
And then Hondro said, just do a fucking cartridge. Although he said it in his, put the card on the needle. Hondro, who says he has no accent.
But there was no foolers in that show. But you had Cash, who did that.
I love Cash.
Yeah.
Cash. Not as much as Brooke love Cash.
What's over?
Do you mind if I interview him for like another 17 hours? Could I just interview Cash for the rest of time, please?
She just walked right over after the interview, after that segment wrapped and was like, whoa, he's sexy.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Cash was the only one who had a dressing room on her. Oh, he was sharing that with Brooke. She was very fond.
Yes.
Seeing Brooke Burke react to Cash was like seeing Allison react to Zabrecki.
Yes.
Allison reacting to Zabrecki.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
Because she went over to me and said, where have I seen that guy before? I said, well, he's a magician now, but he was lead singer for Possum Dixon.
Yes.
And I said Possum Dixon, and Allison just almost fainted.
Yeah.
She said, when I was in college, that is the guy from Possum Dixon. So Zubrecki's out there doing a funny, creepy routine.
Yeah.
And Allison just swooning.
Yes.
You know, and Cash is trying to do this, you know, do this wonderful card routine. And, you know, Brooke Burke's just like, how tall are you? You know what I mean? That was the interview. That was the interview.
Well, I was very happy they kept the part M, because, you know, I went to CW show, whatever.
Yeah.
But she goes, do you ever use magic to, and he goes, oh, yeah. Without just getting what the question was going and just,
yeah.
It was super funny.
That is great.
Yeah.
Because Brooke Burke has an interest in everybody.
Yes.
And Brooke Burke is very nice and friendly to everybody, but she was more so with Cash.
Yeah. Yeah. Just again, I mean, she did. She never came off being like, I need more of these guys. Can we figure out whatever? She just always just had no problem interviewing. Mm-hmm. Each person was really great.
Brooke Burke's great. Also, it's also so rare.
Yes.
I mean, if you were doing a rock and roll show, you would find every single performer attractive. But unfortunately, we're working in magic where people look like us, which is the big mistake, you know?
Yeah.
It's just you don't get really attractive people in working in magic.
No.
I mean, that's with all due respect to people who are attractive,
right?
Which I can't think of them right now. But
well, the next performer, Alice Hrdlicka, mm-hmm. is an experiment in a different way, where he had the man bun, he wore a skirt, did juggling, circle juggling.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did like this really wacky kind of stoner act. I joked with Reddy Rich that is it
circle juggling.
Yeah.
If you had AI create some of the piss off American men because American women were attracted to him.
Yeah.
Like that's what you would make. Yeah. The man bun, the whole bit. And so he did a lot of the cute, fun, different circle juggling routines.
Yeah. Yeah. I like juggling. I like juggling.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, we're coming toward the end.
Yeah.
I've got to leave because I'm going to go to Boston and to Greenfield and then overseas with the USO. Boy, the USO has the coolest stuff to wear. I've got a jacket now that says Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Whoa.
And all this official shit all over it. And I've got t-shirts and hats and all sorts of stuff that says Joint Chiefs of Staff. It's pretty great to do USO. Also, I just want to cover this really quickly. There's a study that came out that Phil Proctor sent to me. Everybody sent to me. Magicians' mental health is better than the mental health of other creatives. I just want to say it's bullshit. It is the worst scientific study.
So
bad. Just total jive ass bullshit. Just terrible.
Yeah.
Apparently, studies suggest. What the fuck are you saying? Apparently, studies suggest. Okay, well, I don't know. Do you have any gigs coming up?
I'll be at the Magic Castle the new year, January 8th through the 14th.
And Brooke Burke's going to come see you.
She is. Yeah. And then I will be at the River Arts in Prairie du Sac, Wisconsin on January 19th.
You just said words that aren't anything.
I know.
Say it again.
Prairie du Sac, Wisconsin.
Prairie du Sac?
It's drivable from Madison. So
is it one word?
Yeah. No, it's three words.
Prairie du Sac.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to try to get him to change the name while I'm there.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
And tell him to get a little boy fucking maybe
turtle.
A rabbit.
Yeah, just something new. Something, no, put it in the park. It's going to really help things out for you. Look what it did for Worcester.
Did a lot. Put Worcester on the map. On the turtle map.
River Arts there on the 19th.
Prairie du Sac's my favorite dirty childhood game.
And we got to tell you, of course, you need to know this, that Masterclass, we are here from the kindness of MasterClass, and they have over 180 instructors. Once you become a member of MasterClass, you get access to everything, all the lessons, everything.
Yeah.
And it's a really good thing. It's a fabulous gift, fabulous gift. And this holiday season, give one annual membership and get one free at masterclass.com/pen. Right now, you can get two memberships for the price of one at masterclass.com/pen. masterclass.com/pen. Offer terms apply. And that was Penn Sunday School, brought to you by MasterClass.
That was Penn Sunday School.
Cha, cha, cha.
And to our listening,
you become naked.
That is right.
Angels sang and round us rang the music of the spheres.
That was Penn Sunday School. We got a lot to talk about. When I come back, we got a lot to talk
about. Yeah, that's going to be insane.
You want me to thank that, Don Lee?
Yes, I want to thank the following people who support us over at patreon.com/pen. If you want some really cool rewards like signed postcards from Penn every month with postcards with original artwork by Brogan Hastings, get on over to patreon.com/pen. Good people like Amy Smith, Francisca P., Harry the Gorillagician, Don Dottie, Kevin Burke, David McLaughlin, Old Bear Greg, Charlie Sheets says trans rights, no shit, Sherlock, and Shelly Ruger. Someone changed their name to Anne just to mess with the rhythm of the thank yous. Jenny loves Penn like Penn loves Dylan. Steve Bracegirdle wouldn't have put the coins back in the jar. Thank you, Steve.
Oh, thank you.
Coach Rat Bastard. Emery the Extra Long Shoreman. Will Jason. David, I'm going to finger your cunt Brenner. Of course, the tribute to Gilbert staying alive in our thank yous. Tristan Connett. Mason Gooch. Sagebrush. Matthew Mishu. Luke Mellon. Jason Andrew Davidson, Peter B. Clark, Matt Williams, Soapy Fresh, Brad Sherlag, Mike Cavanaugh, Rafiki, Steve Feldman, Jonathan P., NewRuleFX.com, Eric M. Ryan, Krista Hatchby, Luke McKinney, Danny, insert meta joke here, Ruse, Little Mandar, Mike Fresh, how much red whip could Ready Rich whip if Ready could Rich could whip? I think I got it wrong. Adam Stickney, Nathan Julian, Jeremy in Shanghai, Christopher Harris, Petty Officer Scoop, Daniel, how do magic dragons blow out candles? Oh, I don't know. What's the punchline to that? Or just that is the punchline.
Yeah.
Got it. William Wengreen, David K., Shane Brevik, Blue Drinks Film says, clear your cookies, baby. Brandon Knapp and Nick Dingman. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I decided not to fuck up my YouTube algorithm by searching whether or not Phil Esch is dead. And I'll note that the chat didn't either.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.